pray. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for that wonderful invitation from the heart of God tonight. For whosoever, we think of the work of our Lord Jesus on the cross, how He suffered to save us from a lost eternity, and is offering that salvation full and free. So we ask Thy help, owning our weakness, our dependence upon Thee. Should there be one in the company, or more, who is still in their sins without hope and without God, that Thy word might be as a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces, leading souls in repentance to the feet of the Lord Jesus. We seek Thy help. We look to Thee for blessing and ask it all in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us also sing number 9. Number 9. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. Glad to see so many boys and girls here tonight. And we hope there'll be something that you can understand. Because Mr. Kemp likes to speak to children. I come from the big city of Ottawa, and there we have lots of boys and girls in very poor homes. Not as nice as your home. But I've gone around to these we call them projects. And I knock at the door,
And I say to the parents, now we're having a meeting here. Can your boy or girl come to the meeting? Well, they want to know what it's about. Well, I give them a gospel tract. And usually the parents allow their boys and girls to come and sit there on the hillside. I have a sign up, gospel meeting, all welcome.
And so we meet many boys and girls from different lands, different nationalities, and I like to make it simple for them, so I brought something here that I want to show you before we go on. Okay? Here's what a little girl asked, this question. Can you see it, boys and girls? What did she ask? What was the question she asked? Did you tell me? Read what I have here. Okay, I'll read it for you. Lord, how much did you love me? This is what the little girl asked. Lord, how much did you love me? Now, what's the answer to that question? Here it is. This much. Stretched out his hands and died for me. That's the answer to that question. For everyone in the hall tonight, not only boys and girls, but men and women who are still in their sins without Christ and without God and without hope, bearing the burden of sin for many years it may be. Here's a poem that I've enjoyed. You've carried your burden. You've carried it long. Oh, bring it to Jesus. He's loving and strong. He'll take it away, and your sorrows shall cease. He'll send you rejoicing with his heavenly peace. All right, boys and girls, men and women, this is an invitation from the Lord of glory. This meeting started in heaven. And see what I have here? I think of a verse in the book of Proverbs. Easy to find it. 25:25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. That's the good news, men and women, that God has an offer of salvation for you, that God loves you, that he has a personal interest in you. You are special. You're not lost in the crowd. God looks down and he knows the name of every person in this company tonight. And he's offering you a full and a free salvation through the Lord Jesus who died for you. Sometimes in India, when you're going through the country, you're liable to see big rocks there. Big rocks along the side of the road. Because the Hindus, they carry heavy burdens on their heads for long distances, and they get pretty heavy. And they get pretty tired. And there, that resting stone, they can put the burden on it. They can rest there for a few moments and then pick it up again and go on their way. But this time, there was a preacher of the gospel there, and those men that were standing around with their burdens on the rocks, the resting stones, he preached the gospel to them. And he asked them the question, have you got any burdens? Oh, yes. I've got a burden, I can't pay the taxes. I don't have enough money. And what's your burden? Well, my family, I don't have enough money to feed them. And so everyone had their burden. Those black men, well, they heard the gospel, and the evangelist, he went home. But after a few months, he had someone knock at the door. And he said, who are you? Well, he says, I'm one of those men that had
that was beside the resting stones. And you told me that the Lord Jesus can take away my burden. I've got a heavy burden. I've tried to get rid of it myself, and I can't. You told me that there's one that will take that burden from me because I'm a sinner, and I know it. And so the evangelist was so happy to say, yes, the Lord Jesus has borne your burden on the cross if you believe on him. There, he took that awful load of sin off Mr. Kemp and many of us, that load that I could not bear. And that young, that man, that black Indian man, he believed what the evangelist said. And there, he came to the Lord Jesus, and he lifted his burden from him, and he went on his way rejoicing. And so, dear friends, tonight, this is a gospel meeting for you. I don't know your condition before God. But everything is naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And I want you to know at the outset of our meeting tonight that God has shown us the way of salvation. And it's like cold waters to a thirsty soul. You want something that really satisfies the things of this world and all its pleasures and entertainments? Do not satisfy. What you need is salvation. You need to come to the Lord Jesus with all your burden of sin and repent of those sins and put your trust in the one who died for you, the one who came down from glory, the one who left the palaces, the ivory palaces, and entered this dark world to reveal the heart of God to you, to show you the way of salvation and pardon and forgiveness of sins. Well, I can remember a story that I like to tell. I think you boys and girls all know about elephants. Once I had a ride on an elephant. It was pretty bumpy. All have seen elephants. Here's one here. Well, this is a story about an elephant. It's good for all of us. This mother elephant, there she was with her little baby calf. And there was black men on the shores with big long spears. They wanted to get the baby elephant. They were after him. And so there they were standing. There was a mother elephant in the stream and the little baby elephant on the other side of her. And those men with those big, long, sharp spears, they hurled them with all their strength at the mother elephant. She did not move. She did not move an inch. She took those spears in her body. It must have really hurt. Big, long spear. She would not move. And you know, those black men, those African men, they never got the baby elephant. They never got it. They had to go home without it. Well, that's just a little picture, boys and girls, every one of us. The Lord Jesus on the cross, he took that awful judgment, stroke upon stroke, when God's judgment fell upon his holy head. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. How wonderful, boys and girls, to put your trust in the Lord Jesus and find rest of soul in him. Well, we're going to talk tonight for a little time about two mountains. I think all of you have heard about mountains, and maybe you have climbed mountains and looked down from the top. Last week we were right in the shadow of the Rocky Mountains in Denver. Beautiful mountains. We didn't have time to go up, But you know, mountains are spoken of in the Word of God in different places. And we're just going to speak about two mountains, basically, tonight. So let us turn to Matthew chapter 17. We'll read a verse there in Matthew chapter 17 about a mountain. And what happened here? Matthew 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he thus yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. That's the first mountain we're talking about tonight. The Lord Jesus, as he walked through this world, it was a lonely path. He didn't have many friends. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He often spent the night in the mountains alone in prayer. But on this occasion here that we read about, the Lord appeared in all his glory. His raiment was as white as snow. There he was with a glorified body, the same man who opened the eyes of the blind, opened the ears of the deaf, mingled his tears with the sisters of Bethany who had lost their brother. This man now was glorified for a short time there on the mountain. And the whole mountain was filled with light because God the Father opened the heavens, so to speak, and spoke about the excellence of his beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That could not be said of any other man in the world. You know, when the Lord was baptized in the river Jordan, it tells us that the Spirit of God, as a dove, came down and alighted on his head. You know, Noah sent out the dove several times from the ark, but the dove could not find a place to lay its head, to alight, because all around were dead corpses. There was nothing living. And for 4,000 years, the Spirit of God had been hovering over this world, looking for someone that he could come down upon in pleasure. Impossible. Man, wherever he was found, was guilty, unclean, a sinner, and an enemy of God. So that dove, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit, could never find any place to come down until the Lord Jesus, there, John the Baptist, in the River Jordan, the heavens were opened, and God's voice was heard, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That could only be said of one man. No one else could have a commendation like that, because all, without exception, were guilty sinners in the pit of sin, without hope and without God. But here the Lord Jesus, in his millennial glory, he shone that brilliancy, just as it will be in the millennium. And Peter and John were there.
So, dear friends, tonight we want you to know that the Lord Jesus is able to save to the uttermost all those that come unto God by him. The Lord came down from the mountain and he continued his ministry, but God was pleased with the life of his beloved Son. God was glorified. Christ was honored there by the Father because of his perfect pathway down here. And so, dear friends, this evening, we want you to know that the Lord Jesus is waiting for to bless you, to lift you up, to give you life eternal. You know, I think of a story of a little Italian boy. His name was Alfredo Rampi. He was 6 years of age. And when he was playing around there in the countryside, he fell into a well. And it was a deep well, about 200 feet deep. And poor little Alfredo struggled and struggled. But he went down further and further. The whole Italian nation came to his rescue. They brought all sorts of apparatus and machines and so on. And they couldn't get him out. And two brave Italian men, they crawled right down into that awful pit. And 200 feet below the surface of the earth. And they were able to touch him. But they could not grab little Alfredo and bring him out. And sad to say, little Alfredo died in the pit. Every effort was put forth to get that little boy out. It was impossible. But if you're without Christ, you're in a horrible pit too. All we have to do is look at Psalm 40. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. He set my feet upon a rock. He put into my heart a song. It doesn't matter how deep you've gone down. The Lord's hand, the Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is open to your cry tonight. If you will come to him just as you are and put your faith and trust in the work that he did for you on the cross so that you will not perish. All of us here that are saved, we've been brought up out of a horrible pit by the grace of God, and our feet is on a solid rock, Christ the cornerstone. Are you trusting him? Are you putting your faith in the work of Christ? Or are you trusting in something that you can do? That's impossible. You're helpless. But God gives you a warning. He wants you to be sure that you are saved tonight. He doesn't want you to go to bed with that load of sin upon you. His arms are wide open. And the gospel is for you tonight to accept, to believe, to receive Christ into your heart by faith tonight. I live in Ottawa, and there is a big superstore there, and my wife often goes to the superstore to buy groceries, and right next to the superstore is the banknote. That's where most of our money comes from in Canada. Anyway, one day there was an Italian man, I forget his name now, he was about 45 years of age. He was walking out one afternoon with his wife and family, having a nice walk in the beautiful weather. And there was a young man, daredevil, roaring down the street, the police on his tail. They were chasing him. He was in a car. And he was roaring down the street there on Kirkwood. I know it very well. He hit that man. he hit that man. I'd be telling him that. And his wife and daughters were there. And he was on the ground. And I think there was a doctor nearby. He came out and tried to resuscitate him. But he found there was no response. That poor man, I don't know if he was saved. He's gone into eternity. Eternity. Just a couple of blocks from where I live. And I sometimes say, all the money that's in that building there, they must have millions and millions of dollars, could never redeem that Italian man from death and judgment if he died without Christ. Oh, dear friends, God gives us a warning. He wants us to be in the glory with him. And he doesn't want us to perish without hope and in a lost eternity. And tonight may be your last opportunity. God doesn't promise you tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. When I was in Brazil, I told the story of the Queen of the North. I don't want to tell too many stories, but I'm going to tell this as a warning. The Queen of the North was a beautiful ship, a tourist boat. It had 101 people on it, and it was going up the Inland Passage. That's a beautiful route along the west coast of British Columbia, right up to Alaska. The mountains are beautiful. You pay the money, you have your stateroom, and you can see all the scenery and have your meals and everything. 101 people on that boat. But in the night, suddenly, about midnight, there was a bump. There was a bump. The captain was at the controls, and he knew that something went wrong. And so he went down, and he said, there's no hope. So he sounded the SOS. He said to everyone, we've got to abandon this boat immediately. It's going down. So he called for all the sailors around. The boats came from every place around there, and they got everyone into a boat. That Queen of the North, that beautiful long ferry, probably as long as this room, in 30 minutes it went down. So the captain, first of all, he said to one of the stewards on the boat, go to every room. Go to every room on that boat and pound at the door like this. Because we don't want to leave anyone behind. Do what I told you. And so they obeyed. They went to every stateroom and they pounded at the door. And they came back to the captain. They said, sir, we've done it. There's no one else on the boat. All right, let's get to land because this is going down. So they all arrived at the land. And now the captain said, all those that were on the Queen of the North, line up here. We're going to take a head count. All right. 95, 96, 97, 98. 99. Anyone else that was on the Queen of the North? There were two people missing. 99 we have counted. But where are the other two? Anyone else? He cried out. Anyone from the Queen of the North? No answer. So he came to the awful conclusion that two people went down with the ship. 1,000 feet down in the water. Not going to tell many secrets now. But they had the opportunity. They had the warning. They heard. What were they asleep? I don't know. We'll never know. But they went down with that ship. But they had the warning. And so, dear friends, tonight, God loves you. And he's warning you of coming judgment. People may mock at it. Fools mock at sin. Sin is a terrible thing in the sight of God. And we're going to read in closing our meeting before too long. We're going to read another mountain in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. But this mountain is going to be a complete contrast to the mountain that we've read about already in Matthew chapter 17. Have your Bibles? Matthew 27. See if we can find the verse here now. Yes, Matthew 27. We're going to read verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard it, said, this man calleth for Elias. Well, here's another mountain, the mountain of Calvary. Here's the same man that we read about in Matthew 17, whose raiment, whose clothes shined as the light. It's the same man. But look at the revolution. Look at the difference. Look at the contrast here. James and John, they saw Moses and Elias on the mountain. There they were with the Lord. What were they talking about? They were talking about the death of Christ. They weren't talking about the glory. They were talking about the death of Christ. We're going to do, remember the Lord tomorrow morning. But here, there is no voice from heaven. No. Here, the face of the Lord Jesus, reverently speaking, is not shining brightly. It was marred more than the face of any man. Here, he was nailed to the cross with a crown of thorns on his blessed head. The one that had shown mercy and goodness to so many hundreds or thousands. But here he was alone. What man did to him in the first 3 hours was terrible. This is what man did to the Son of God. They put him on a cross to open shame. They spit upon him. They scourged him. They nailed him to that cross. And they sat down and watched him suffering in their rebellious heart. The Lord Jesus did not have anyone to help him there. And then, the worst of all, it became dark. Gloom and darkness covered the earth. And a far deeper gloom and darkness was in the heart of the Lord Jesus. Because, as we read in this verse, God, the holy God, who hates sin, he turned away his face from his Son. He didn't answer his cry. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? What a contrast. There was no angel there to help him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when the Lord was anticipating the cross, when he was looking into that cup of judgment, he didn't drink it in the Garden of Gethsemane, but the suffering was so terrible that God sent an angel to support him, because he was attacked by the enemy. Satan made an attack upon the Lord there in the Garden of Gethsemane with all his power to turn him away from going to the cross. And an angel supported him. But here, there's no angel to support him. There's no one to comfort the Lord. Without comfort, I looked for comforters, but there was none. Reproach hath broken my heart. I'm full of heaviness. No one was there to comfort the blessed Lord in those hours. Those dark hours. What happened? my sins and all their terror there. God's wrath and Satan's power. There they were taken off me, put upon the head of the Lord. In the darkness, so dark that you could not see your hand, the Lord suffered the judgment of God. He drank that bitter cup to its last dark drop. The cup of wrath and judgment. And then he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, gave up the ghost, returned to heaven. What happened then? A Roman soldier came, and with a long spear, he hurled it at the Lord, and it went into his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And that precious blood can cleanse you from all your sin. It has power to wash your sins away, to give you a title to glory. That's the only reason I have a passport to heaven. And that's the Lord Jesus' precious blood that was shed for me. Are you trusting Him as your Savior? I think of the story of a man. He was in hospital. He was going through to have a very dangerous operation. He didn't know whether he was going to come out alive. As he lay on that hospital bed waiting, he was had some religion, but everything seemed to be falling away from him. His religion didn't give him any comfort. He says, here for the first time in my life, I am facing eternity, and I don't know if my sins are forgiven. I don't know if I'm going to wake up in this world again. And so he was very deeply concerned. As he lay there waiting for the nurse to take him into the operating room, he remembered a verse that his mother had taught him when he was just a boy. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And just like a drowning man grabbing a life buoy, with all his strength, he rested upon that verse, 1 John 1:7. And a peace flooded his soul, and he went into the operation with confidence. If I die, it will be with the Lord. But he got through the operation. He came through the mercy of God. Well, are you trusting in the work of Christ tonight? Can you say that the Lord Jesus is your Redeemer? That He suffered for your sins, He loved you, He left the glory, He gave everything He had. Are you going to turn your back on Him and say no? I know that my Redeemer liveth. I'm looking at the faces of many here tonight who can say those words. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Let me tell you a little story. You go over to England, you look at the Malvern Cemetery, you will see those words on the stone. I know that my Redeemer liveth. On whose stone? The stone, the gravestone, of a lady whose name was Jenny Lind. Jenny Lind was a slim girl, but she had a beautiful voice. At 17 years of age, she was singing in operas all over Europe. The only girl that Queen Victoria threw flowers to. Her voice was just like a nightingale. She was called Swedish Nightingale. A beautiful voice. And she said to one of the professors, she said, my prayer is that my voice, the gift that God has given me, will be used for His glory and not for my honor. Wasn't that beautiful? But something was strange in Jenny Lind's life, because she was popular all over Europe. The crowned heads of many countries honored her. But it's strange that her career was very short. It was only a few years, and then she retired from singing publicly.
He would sing at a charity, maybe. But one person said, "Jenny, Lynn, Miss Lynn, why have you left the stage just at the height of your success? Why have you left the stage?" And she said so humbly and sweetly, because she had her Bible there on her lap, which she was reading. And she said, "Because every day that I went into that worldly society, I thought less of this book. I thought less of this book." You know, she sang opera and all these elopements and all these songs that are not honoring to the Lord. And she said, "How could I go on and sing those songs when the Word of God has won my heart and the Lord does not want me to be connected with that worldly society." And she gave it up for Christ. Well, she's with the Lord in the glory now. So as we draw near to the close of our meeting here, I want you again to remember that the Lord's arms are wide open for you tonight. And He wants you to be sure of salvation. He wants you to lay your head on your pillow with the assurance that if you die before tomorrow morning, you'll be with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? To be sure of eternity. To have no doubt or fear or misgiving where I'm going when I leave this world. No, you can be sure that if the Lord takes you, it'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And that for eternity. We all have heard of plane crashes. I read about a Boeing, a huge airliner, September 1978. It had 144 passengers on it. It was coming into the San Diego airport, banking up to get ready to land. And a little Cessna plane deviated from its course right into the path of that jet, that huge jet with 144 people on it, and it smashed it. 30 seconds, that plane came down, and everyone in it was lost. There was a Christian man. It hit some houses, but this Christian man, it missed his house just by a few feet. And as he stood there and looked at that wreckage, that inferno, he says, "There was absolutely nothing that I could do. No first aid. No one could help them physically or spiritually. They were gone into eternity." Did they have a warning? Well, not really. But if they weren't ready, it was too late. They went into eternity. And only the Lord knows what the state was of each one of those people. So, boys and girls, we don't want to frighten you, but we do want you to be sure that you are trusting in the Lord Jesus, that you are sheltered by His precious blood, and that you know that if you leave this world, you will be with the Lord for eternity. Because God is speaking. God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. God is speaking loudly these days. We have many catastrophes. We have many terrible, tragic accidents that are happening. And God is speaking loudly to this world. But man is not listening to His voice. And we're in 2024. We're just on the threshold of the Lord's return. Maybe tomorrow we'll be with the Lord. Maybe tonight.
And I wonder, would you still be sitting on that seat if the Lord came tonight and gave the shout that we've been reading about in our meetings? All those that belong to Him would be right through that roof. They'd be lifted right out of this world into the very presence of the Lord Jesus to go no more out. Won't you put your trust in Him tonight? One more story. Years ago, there was a boat. It was called the Boyne. It was off the coast of Portsmouth. I've been to Portsmouth, England, because I lived in England for several years. It's a very important port. I visited there. But this ship was off the shore of Portsmouth, and there was an awful explosion. And the people that were on the shore, they looked. There was the Boyne, that big ship, in flames. In flames. People were jumping into the water, and many of them drowned. They couldn't get to shore in time. But there was one sailor on that boat with his wife. And he had a little boy, 18 months old, in the arms of the mother. And he said, "Well, if I don't get off this boat, there's no hope. We're going to perish." So he went down into the bottom of the boat, and he found a sheep. The animals down there were terrified, but he grabbed a hold of that sheep in his arms, and he brought him up to the top deck, and he took the little boy, and he put him on the back of the sheep, and he tied him with some rope, and he looked at his wife, and he threw him into the water, and he said, "The Lord be with you." And the sheep began to swim. Sheep are good swimmers. What about the sailor? Well, he and his wife couldn't stay on the ship. It was going to burn up, so they jumped into the water, and he was able to hold his wife up until someone came along with a boat and picked them up. And to their great joy, when they came to the shore, who did they find? Their little boy. As soon as the people saw that sheep coming into the shore, they ran out and brought him in, untied the little boy. He was no worse from his experience. He was joined with his parents and saved from an inferno. Well, dear friends, God does not want you to perish. And tonight, He is offering you a full and free salvation. What have you got to lose if you accept Christ? I'll tell you what you lose. You lose your sins, and you're glad to get rid of them. What do you gain? Forgiveness, eternal life. We spoke of reconciliation, a home in the glory, a happy life down here, not without problems. No. Because you're a Christian doesn't mean you don't have any more problems. But you have peace, and you have one that you can pray to 24 hours a day, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Isn't that an awful end for a person? But if you've accepted the Lord Jesus, your name is in the Book of Life, and no one can rub it out. No angel or no demon can ever rub out your name. It's engraved on the hands of the Lord Jesus, and you'll be there in the glory with Him forever. Well, may the Lord bless the word tonight to us. And remember that God is still waiting in long-suffering patience. He's not willing that any should perish. As we said this afternoon, God didn't need to be reconciled to us. His heart is overflowing with love for the sinner. What a privilege we have, brethren, as ambassadors, to take that message to whosoever. I've come back from Brazil, where I spent a month with my wife, Eleanor. We distributed the word all over that vast city of São Paulo. seldom we had a refusal. Pocket calendars, laminated texts, bookmarks, we distributed wherever we went. I'm not as good a distributor as Eleanor, but I go along. And it was a joy to see the Word of God going out to so many souls. Well, God is waiting in patience, and He is still inviting sinners far and wide, poor and rich. A poem that I often quote, I'm going to close with. The City of London. I lived in the City of London for 3 years as a teacher. There's a lot of poor people in London. A lot of what you might call slums. Also in Sao Paulo, Brazil, too. But those slums are very open for the gospel. But I like the poem that was written by somebody about a poor woman in London. She had nothing of this world's goods, just the clothes that were on her back. She was lying on some straw there in her tenement, in her apartment. And someone came to her in the heart of London City, midst the dwelling of the poor. These bright golden words were uttered. I have Christ. What want I more? He who heard them ran to fetch her something from the world's great store. It was needless, died she, saying, I have Christ. What want I more? Isn't that a wonderful testimony for that poor woman? She left this world empty-handed. But she had Christ. And so the Lord can heal the broken hearts. No man or woman can heal broken hearts. But the Lord is able to heal and to fill your soul with joy in believing and looking forward to that time when we shall meet Him face to face. Now we sing a short hymn in closing here. Number 16. Whosoever heareth, shout the sound. If some brother would start it, please.
Whosoever heareth, shout the sound.
Close in the word of prayer. Loving God and our Father, we thank Thee tonight for the opportunity that once more we have had to proclaim the glad tidings of Thy grace. We thank Thee for that unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus, for His journey from heaven's glory to Calvary's depth of woe, for His suffering, for His love to us, a love that many waters could not quench. And for His finished work and His precious blood that was shed. Bless Thy word, we pray tonight, especially to any precious soul, young or old, who has not yet accepted God's offer of salvation. We pray for such, that they may come in true repentance to the Savior and find forgiveness and pardon and life eternal. We thank Thee for Thy goodness to us this day, the happy meetings we have had, and commit ourselves into Thy care, body, soul, and spirit, giving thanks in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.